In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Lord continues to work his mighty deeds from the beginning of creation to our very day, and those things which are recorded in the Holy Gospel are very special for us because they took place during the earthly life of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ, and they were very closely connected with his saving dispensation. Today we hear about two miracles. The one happened to do with the daughter of a ruler of the synagogue. Now this is very strange because the rulers of the synagogue had rejected our Lord. But now this man in such a desperate state is put in the corner, so to speak, because his daughter, who is 12 years old, is dying and he doesn't know what to do. When we find ourselves in difficult and desperate straits, and we don't know where else to go to, it's easier for us to run to God in such desperation. However, there are plenty of people who add darkness to darkness, and they don't go to our Lord, they reject our Lord, as did the majority of those people who were connected to the rulers of the synagogue. But this man in particular had some type of faith, had some type of hope. He was hoping, after hearing the many miracles which our Lord worked among the people, he was hoping that the Master would do something for his 12-year-old daughter. And so he calls our Lord, and our Lord responds to his invitation. Please heal my daughter. So our Lord goes on the way to heal his daughter. He gets ready to go to his house. But remember that our Lord knows all things. And there were a throng of people. There were a multitude of people around him. And there was one woman who touched the border of his garment. Another act of a great act of faith. Because she thought if she just touched at least the border of his garment, she will be healed of her malady of many years. And she was healed. But in this particular case, our Lord wanted to manifest this miracle. And he said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples of our Lord said, "Master, there are plenty of people thronging and there's a multitude of people pressing." "What do you mean, who touched me? Many people touched you." "No, someone touched me because I know that power has come out of me." Again, he's trying to teach a lesson to his holy disciples. And the power went out of our Lord, and when the woman saw that she couldn't hide herself, confessed to all what happened. In the meanwhile, someone was sent from the house of the ruler of the synagogue to tell the master that his daughter, that the daughter of the ruler is dead. Trouble not the master. And our Lord said, "Fear not." As he tells us many times, fear not. Only believe. Fear not, only believe. And so, at this time, our Lord continues, and he goes to the house. And as he gets there, the people were mourning, they were crying over the death of this little girl who was 12 years old. And our Savior said, "She's not dead, she's only sleeping." And it says in scriptures that they laughed him to scorn. So our Savior took his foremost disciples, Peter, James, and John. He took the parents, he went in, and she that was dead was risen. Another case of rising from the dead. Another case of the miracles of our Lord. We can see here the faith of the people. On the one hand, the one man who was desperate went to the right place at the right time. And the other lady who just touched the hem of his garment, just the borders of his garment, was healed. It's sort of like us saying somebody approaching the holy chalice, not receiving Holy Communion, but just touching the holy napkin. And in faith says, if I just touch that holy napkin, I know that I will be healed. But we go a little beyond that. We participate in the Holy Eucharist. Holy Communion, Thea Eucharistia. And we should receive great power. For our Lord says, I know that power has come out of me just through his clothing. Today we celebrate a great feast. The memory of St. Abramius and Mary. It's another very edifying story, especially for monastics, especially for those who find themselves in difficult straits, especially for those who are tempted of the evil one, and for those who are fallen. It's a story of hope, and it's also a lesson in hope and a lesson of the tragedy that can happen to a soul when he turns away from God because of delusion. It's also a lesson in the fact that the demons are very much near, but so are the angels. And a story of the fact that the closer a person is to God, the closer the angels are to him. The further away he is from God, the closer the demons are to him. And if the demons are closer to him, he has certainly a great deal of deceptions in his thinking. Abramius was an ascetic. He was a co-ascetic with St. Ephrem the Syrian, a friend of St. Ephrem. And Abramius had a niece whose name was Mary. And they lived strictly. And every so often, Abramius would go to the cell of Mary and would just peek through the window. They would receive these types of ascetics who were reclusive. They would receive food sometimes through the window. They would hear a word or speak a word through the window. In any case, one day, Abramius went to his niece and he called out for her and she wasn't there. Mary, my child, where are you? And Mary was not there. She was not to be found. She ran away. She was a monastic who ran away from her monastic place of repentance. And Abramius was very grieved. Very grieved. And he prayed and he prayed. But our Lord doesn't always reveal these things, even to the great fathers. Of course, if our Lord didn't reveal to the holy apostles, his disciples, certain things, he doesn't reveal to the saints throughout the ages, certain things. He only reveals that which he wishes to reveal. St. Macarius of Egypt says concerning the disciples that if they got their way in everything, then their faith wouldn't have been tested, as our faith gets tested. We know that the wheat and the tares need to live together. Griefs came upon some of the disciples, particularly with false brethren. And they worked with them for long periods of time, like Judas. And he was part of the assembly, part of the group. But all of a sudden, this person falls away. And sometimes it's a surprise to people. But this doesn't happen in an instant, because a person who lives a godly way of life has a treasure. And because of that treasure, because of that grace, God gives the person a chance, another chance, another chance, and another chance until this grace is exhausted. And the person, because of their persistence in rejecting God, is abandoned. God moves back because the condemnation would be a lot worse And of course, if a person receives light and turns away from the light, the condemnation is a lot worse. And that's what Mary did. So a Brahmin prayed, and after a couple years, it was revealed to him where Mary was. Mary was in a brothel. Mary became a prostitute. The person who was living a godly way of life had fallen so deep. And let's hold on for a second and think a little bit about what we just mentioned concerning demons being close by and angels being close by. We have to really understand the reality of this thing, that the angels try to incite divine thoughts into us, into our hearts. The demons try to put evil thoughts into our minds. We're not alone. Each person is not totally on his own. Many times during the day, the demons try to put thoughts into our minds, trying to get us to believe that they're our own thoughts, camouflaging the thoughts and making them look very reasonable, when in fact they're totally deceptive. He's trying to present something that's very rational, and it's the biggest deception. And when a person comes out of the deception, he realizes what an idiot he was, spiritually. And that's exactly what happens when we get, this is exactly what happens when we get fooled. It happens that the saints themselves have gotten fooled at different times. But God, who did not abandon them, came to their rescue, and they came to themselves, and they remembered the former grace which they had. But it takes some work for a person to get out of a deep, when they get themselves in that deep rut. So particularly what happened here was, Saint Abramius decided he was going to go to rescue Mary. Being a man of God, he prayed about it first, and he knew whether the time was right, or whether there was hope, or whether there was no hope. And so he found hope, he put all his trust in the Lord, and he decided that he was going to go to rescue Mary. So he went to Mary, the fallen nun, and he found her. He went to the brothel. He decided that he was going to pretend that he was be a customer for the fallen nun. And so he went and he pretended he was going to be a customer, and he went into the room together with Mary, and they sat on the bed, and Mary smelled the smell of asceticism in her uncle. And she was pricked. Something already touched her. In fact, just the presence of her uncle was something which, even though she didn't recognize him, something which already would have touched her heart, her conscience. So he said, "Mary." And she was shaken because she started to realize who this person was. It was her uncle. And she was dumbfounded. She couldn't speak. He tried to get her to say something. "Mary, my child, speak to me. I'm your uncle." But she wouldn't speak. And he tried to get her to understand that the mercy of God is great, and that there's no sin that God will not forgive. But you see what happens when a person gets into deception. It's very difficult to pull the person out of it, especially when the person gives in to it. This happens to everyone. It can happen to anyone. If those demons are speaking in our ears and we accept those thoughts, we're giving him authority to make his abode in us and to become stronger in us and to distract us, and he does. And what happens at that point is that we become deceived in many different ways. So at this time, Saint Abrahamius certainly prayed from his heart. And finally, the word of salvation started entering back into her heart. And she said, "Is there really hope for me?" And he said, "Yes, there is hope for you." And they went back together by the grace of God. Imagine if they had not gone back together, this soul would have been totally lost for eternity. The soul would have been destroyed forever, because she not only did not have God in her life, but she rejected our Lord. For something which does not really last, some type of a joy that in the end leaves bitterness in the person. A joy that is very, very short-lived, and which gives birth to the bitterness of sin. Thankfully, she was brought out of this. There are plenty of occasions when people were not brought out of it. The consequences are disastrous. We have to pray from our whole heart that our Lord will deliver us from deception, that He will pull us away from the demons which are experienced in their job. They know what they're doing. How many people have deceived themselves? How many people are deceived? And if you reject God, whose fault is it? That person is worthy of eternal torment. The person has been given free will. He needs to get up and run to our Lord and say to our Lord his illness, to confess to the Lord that he is the wrong one. He has been deceived. And help me, O Lord, and deliver me from my deception. And then he needs to run in repentance to confession. Not putting trust in the thinking, especially when we're in a bad state. That is not the time to trust your thoughts. But what you can say is anathema to you and your thoughts, O devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. O Lord, protect me by the power of the cross. And slowly, grace comes back to us. And proper thinking comes back to us. And rightful thinking and illumined thoughts come back to us. So we can have the faith of the woman with an issue of blood who invited grace to enter into her because of her faith. We can be like that ruler of the synagogue who was desperate, and so in his desperation he finally realized there's only one last recourse, God. But we should really try to be smart and not permit ourselves to fall into 1,000 different temptations, unnecessary temptations, because of the fact that we are not wise. Pray therefore to the Lord that He will grant you this wisdom that is necessary, divine illumination, divine thoughts, holy thoughts. Like the holy great martyr Demetrius, whom we celebrated, we talked about his divine vision. He had divine vision, theoria, of God's saving dispensation when he lifted up his arm and was pierced in the side. And Saint Philaret, whom we celebrated yesterday, we celebrated the uncovering of his relics, who gave his life for the faith. Saint Theophilus, the fool for Christ's sake, whom we celebrated, who acted like a fool for the sake of the kingdom, because he realized that he needed humility. And he worked, and he was saved. And we pray to him now because of his closeness to God. So let's pray also to Saint Abrahamius and to Saint Mary, those of us who find ourselves in difficult straits. Let us pray that our minds become illumined, that our Lord deliver us from the deception of the evil demon. Let us understand the reality of the situation, that there is an enemy, and that just as any normal human being needs to take care of his sicknesses, he needs to go to the doctor, so also we need to take care of the health of our soul. May the Lord God grant us illumination through the prayers of St. Abramius and his niece Mary, and St. Ephrem the Syrian. Amen.